For a few weeks now, we've been looking at some hard realities of life. That God isn't always there to do our bidding, which, as I said in an email recently, is kind of ironic because he calls us to do his bidding. And we've seen that sometimes, not always, God puts us in a difficult situation. And the truth is that many more times we put ourselves in a difficult situation. But the bottom line is that, and you don't need me to tell you this, that there are times when life can be hard. And while we have faith in God, that doesn't mean that things will necessarily go easy. The truth of the matter is, that's what faith is all about. Faith is not something that we pull out of our pocket to make sure that God does everything the way we want. Faith is believing that God is still God and He still loves us even though things are unraveling. Which is also why I truly admire the faith of so many of the people here. Your faith is not just a happy-go-lucky faith sung with a joyful tune and everything's all right. For some of you, your faith is exercised in the mess of life. Health problems. Serious health problems. Relationship problems. Financial problems. Problems at work and problems at school, problems with relatives. And in many cases, there seems to be no end in sight, but you still have faith. That, my friends, is awesome faith. Faith without sight. And when I see that in people's lives, I am humbled. And I am grateful. You are living faith, and I thank God for you. And my prayer for you is that God will respond, that God will bring comfort, that God will be near. Well, this Sunday we're going to turn a corner, figuratively, and look at Isaiah chapter 40. I actually preached from this passage just a few years ago. You might remember from last week, I referred to that passage from Jeremiah chapter 29 when God said that He would be silent for 70 years. Not only did God say that you're not going to hear from me for 70 years, He basically said, get used to it. Settle down, because that's what's going to happen. That's pretty tough stuff to take. But God also said, and back in Jeremiah 29, that at the end of those 70 years, that God would respond. That while they are going to be and while they are in exile, that God wasn't going to forget them and leave them there. And that is kind of the context of what we're reading in Isaiah chapter 40. The people had already been into exile. They had been held captives in Babylon. They had been uprooted. They had failed to heed the warnings of the prophets. And now their lives have been in ruin. The temple was in ruin. They were taken from their homeland and they were essentially refugees for 70 years. I'm sure they had lots of questions. But one question that was top on their list was this. Was there any hope for them? Do they have a future? Or to put it another way, would God ever work in their lives again? Or would He simply abandon them? And I think most of us can probably relate to that at least in some degree when we look back at our lives and we look back at how we mess things up We ask ourselves, can God ever work in my life again? You know, there's not many feelings that are much worse than the feeling that, you know, we've totally messed up. We've blown it. Have you ever felt that way? And it's during the worst of those times when we get the feeling that we will never be right again. We will never be able to stand up straight again. I'll never get my life in order. I'll never be in another relationship. I'll never be forgiven by my mother or father or son, daughter, husband, or wife. And it's in those times when despair hangs low over our heads that we need to hear the word of the Lord most clearly. If you've ever felt like that, that it's too late, or that it's too deep, or that it's too much, I want you to listen carefully to Isaiah chapter 40, because that is how the people felt. That is where they were. They were at the end of their rope. They were at the point of despair. They were at the place where they were probably thinking that there's no hope for them. They had long since forgotten the promise that God would come back. And they were probably at that place where it's never going to change. And it's in that context, after years of struggle, of waiting, of desperation, maybe even feeling neglect, that we get these words in Isaiah chapter 40, where a prophet speaks, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." And then it has that next little verse which is quoted in the Gospels that I read earlier in the service. This is where it comes from. "A voice of one calling, in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Chapter 40 begins with those words, "Comfort, comfort, comfort my people, says your God." As we already know, the people were living in affliction. They were living in despair. And in that context, God's message is a message of comfort. It's important for us to understand here that the comfort that God is offering is not just a sympathetic, consoling reassurance that all will get better, as if he's putting his hand on and saying, "There, there, don't worry. Just hang in there." God isn't giving out an emotional bandage here. What he's doing is he's offering the kind of comfort that lifts somebody out of a desperate situation. He isn't consoling, he's coming to the rescue. That's what it's meant there when it says comfort. It's a rescue. As much as such, this verse is a verse of hope. It's the first sign it's the first sign of light in a long night of darkness. It's the first indication that something is about to change. It's an indication that God is very much interested in their lives. Comfort, Comfort my people, says your God. Now you might think, well, that's no big deal. But remember, these were words written to a people who were in exile, living in a foreign land. They had no sense of belonging. As far as they were concerned, even God had pretty much forgotten them. And so what does God do? He comes, he makes sure that they understand just how much they mean to him. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. And notice too how deeply personal it is. My people, God says, my people. You're a people that belong to God, that God is interested in you. My people, your God. Again, we see the connection there. It shows just how connected God wants to be with his creation, with us. It is deeply personal. At a time when the people felt the most, perhaps, neglected and alone and forgotten, the message through the prophet Isaiah is that God is deeply personal and connected with you. At a time when they felt all alone in this world, when they thought that maybe nobody cared, God comes alongside and says, I'm here for you. You're with me. You're on my team. I'm on your team. He lovingly says, I know you've messed up. I know you're sorry. And now it's time for your situation to change. That's what God is announcing here in Isaiah chapter 40. We see that emphasized again in verse 2 of that chapter. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. It turns out that God has been waiting and watching all along. And after all of it, he's not there to lash out at the people. The message he says, he gives, is to speak tenderly to my people. Speak tenderly. You know, it's unfortunate that we always assume that when we do something wrong, boy, are we going to get it. We do that as kids. I'm sure my kids must have felt like that just once, maybe twice. You know, boy, am I going to get it when Dad finds out. But you know, as they soon learn that there's something deep about one's love. And here God says, speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Proclaim to her that her hard service has been paid for. We assume that we're going to get blasted when we do wrong. Sometimes we think that way because that's what happens at home. Sometimes that happens at the workplace. If you do something wrong, your boss comes in and blasts you. I hope not, but sometimes that's how some people respond. And we think that maybe that's how God is going to deal with us. And yes, there are consequences to sin. Absolutely. The people made a choice to live a certain way. They chose to reject God's work in their lives. They made a choice to break their covenant with God. And because of those choices, they had consequences. Severe ones. But that didn't mean that God was going to yell and scream at them. And it certainly didn't mean God was going to abandon them. It reminds me of a verse in Galatians 6:1 that we focused on a few months back. Brothers, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. And that's what God is doing here through the prophet Isaiah back in chapter 40. That's what God wants to do. Speak tenderly. He's not out of control. He's not throwing a fit. Yes, He's terribly concerned with what happened with his people. Yes, he had to wait until the people dealt with the consequences of their sin. But his response was to speak tenderly to them. And what's he speaking? He's telling them that a new time has come, that the time for their hard service has been completed. Their sin has been paid for. This doesn't mean that somehow the people paid the debt for their own sin. What it means is that God, on his own initiative, accepted their suffering as atonement for their sin. And because of that, he would be doing something new in their lives. That's the message of hope and expectation. Something is changing, and they need to be ready. And that's why the next few verses, verses 3 to 5, that's repeated in the Gospels, speaks about what needs to be done in preparation for what God will be doing. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. And it goes on from there. But the good news in this passage is that God has not forgotten his people. That's the bottom line. That God had not forgotten his people. That he cares deeply about them. Even though they have suffered, even though they have gone into exile, that God cares about them. Even though they had rebelled and turned their backs on God, even though they rejected God and maybe even thought that God would never want anything to do with them again, God still wants to have that connection with them, that relationship with them. He considers them his people. You are still mine, says God. It doesn't matter how far you've wandered away. It doesn't matter how far you've run away like the prodigal son. You are still mine, and I still love you. I still care for you. I would die for you. And as we know, later on, that's exactly what Jesus did. But at the time, he allowed them to suffer because of their sin, not because he didn't care, but of course because he did care. And when the time had come, God lovingly and tenderly picks them up and says, "It's all right, my son or daughter. I love you. I'm here for you. And this is what I'm about to do for you." Advent is a lot of things. But most of all, it means that a new time is coming or has come. And maybe for someone here today, it's time for Advent to come upon your life. Maybe it's time for a shift to occur in your life. Maybe there's someone here today who can really relate to the people who were in exile. You know you've rebelled against God. You didn't just make a mistake. You rebelled against God. You know you've messed up. You see the consequences of your choices, and it's not very pretty. Fact is, you're tired of it all. And maybe you've even wondered, is there any hope for me? Would God have anything to do with me again? Maybe on the other hand, it's not about sin, but it's simply because of circumstances outside of your control. Maybe you're dealing with some issue or some hardship, and it's out of your control. It's not in your hands. And you've been calling out to God and waiting for him to answer. And maybe you've been calling out to God again and again. And maybe it isn't 70 years for you, but it feels like it. And you're thinking, where is God? Why isn't he answering? Is he even listening? The good news about Advent, the good news in Isaiah chapter 40, is that God is very much interested in you personally, that he has not forgotten you. Advent is about hope. Hope for a new tomorrow. The good news is that it begins today. And so this morning, I want to ask you, will you receive the comfort that God is so tenderly wanting to give you? Or will you decide to go on your own way? That's the choice we can make. God hasn't forgotten you during your time of difficulty. And perhaps the message of hope in Isaiah 40 is the message you need to hear. If that's the case, I encourage you to embrace it. Hang on to it. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Proclaim to her, her hard service has been completed. Her sin has been paid for. She has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. I want to tell you, friends, the glory of the Lord will be revealed in your life. And all mankind together will see it. How do we know? It says, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. We can count on it. The glory of the Lord will be revealed. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. But the glory of the Lord will be revealed, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is to a people who have been through the harshest of circumstances we could imagine. And then still in Isaiah chapter 40. We're still in Isaiah chapter 40, but if you have your Bibles open, just go down to verse 27. Read the whole chapter when you get home, but look at what it's verse 27 and on. You know, the word of the Lord has spoken. The glory of the Lord will be revealed. And people are still in awe. Like, are you serious, Isaiah? Like, come on. And then it says in verse 27, why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded from my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow weary or tired. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Advent is all about hope. Hope that a new day is coming, that a new day is dawning. And I pray that it is dawning for you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we are a people who in no way deserve the message of hope. We have messed up. There are times in our lives when we have turned back from you, when we have abandoned you. There are times, Lord, where we have rejected your word and your will. And Father God, despite that, you still come to us, you call us, you love us. You consider us your people. And you are our God. And Father God, you give us hope. You have not forgotten. You will not abandon. And whether it's our own sin that puts us in a situation that is difficult, or whether it is the sin of the world and the brokenness of this world that we're living in that puts us in a difficult situation, Father God, I pray that you'd help us to call upon you, to remember the words from the prophet Isaiah, and to just to lean upon you, to know, Lord God, that your glory will be revealed in your time. And I pray, Father God, that you would just bring your presence and your peace, your comfort upon each one of us. Lord God, if there are any this morning who are at the end of their rope, I pray, Father God, that these words from Isaiah would be the turning point for them, that they too may be able to look to you, draw strength from you, put their hope in you, and Lord, that you would renew their strength. I pray, Father God, that you would do this for your glory. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.